Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to R Systems Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Gaurav. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning to all. On behalf of R Systems, I welcome all participants to quarter two 2022 earnings conference call. We have senior management of R Systems with us in this call. We will start the call with opening remark on the performance of the company by Dr. Nitin, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand and business overview by Mr. Avira. Thereafter, we will have a closing statement by Dr. Nitin. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains certain forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. Company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future event or otherwise. Actual results, performance or achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statement. Now I pass it to Dr. Nitin for his opening comment. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being part of this investor call. I trust all of you and your loved ones are keeping safe and well. The technology companies are continuing to be benefited by renewed focus towards adaptation of digital technologies post this pandemic. The businesses have accepted this new normal and started exploring new digital products, business models to convert their challenges into opportunities. With this, I'd like to present an overview of R Systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us in this conference for the first time. R Systems was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 18 development and service centers worldwide. R Systems delivers digital transformation services with new types of innovation and creativity to businesses in various industries, technology, telecom, digital media, healthcare and life sciences, finance and insurance, retail and e-commerce. Our deep industry domain knowledge, combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, AI, mobility, IoT, RPA and cloud, help us in transformation of businesses in this digital age. We have witnessed strong revenue during H1 2022, especially for digital and product engineering services. Our revenue grew year-on-year 38% to rupees 718 crores, that is $94.4 million. The growth was backed by the strong demand environment across all business units. We added 20 new logos during H1 2022 with bigger deal sizes. The EBITDA for the first half of financial year 2022 was 12.6% as against 13% last year in the same period. The EBITDA margins were under pressure primarily on account of salary hikes and attrition challenges. Our efforts for rate hike and higher rack rates have started yielding results. However, the full impact of these initiatives will reflect in the next few quarters. We have onboarded more than 170 associates to cater to the growing demand. During quarter two, the utilization has improved and there is further scope to improve offshore utilization. Profit after tax was rupees 61.5 crores as against rupees 71 crores in the same period last year. This was further impacted by mark-to-market loss on forward covers amid sharp rupee depreciation. We continue to have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 452 crores and net cash balances of rupees 218 crores to support liquidity and growth. We serve $47 million plus customers as against 33 a year ago. I will now hand over to our CFO, Nam Sardana, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Dr. Eki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope you and family are doing fine. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was Rs. 375 or $48.7 million, quarter-on-quarter increase of 9.3% and year-on-year increase of 37.1%. The increase is primarily on account of volume growth, impact of higher billable days and rupee depreciation. We witnessed good revenue growth for our technology and digital services. We are quite optimistic for coming quarters and strengthened our delivery team to cater to growth opportunities. There has been good growth from existing customers on top of adding 10 e-wins during the quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was 35.3% in this quarter compared to 33.2% in last quarter and 35.6% in the same quarter last year. Increase of 2.1% is on account of higher billable days, increase in billing rates and rupee depreciation as offset by impact of higher average salaries. We have got rate hike from existing customers plus improved rate rate for new customers over the last few quarters. It has to some extent helped us to offset the impact of salary hike. Still, we are working on these initiatives to further improve margin in coming quarters. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter on quarter by Rs. 11.3 crores. It was 83.4 crores in this quarter compared to Rs. 72.1 crore last quarter. The increase is mainly due to addition of new sales and pre-sales staff, capacity expansion, increased marketing spend and H-1 visa fee. EBITDA in this quarter was Rs. 49.1 crore or $6.4 million compared to Rs. 41.7 crore or $5.6 million last quarter and Rs. 36.6 crores or $5 million in the same quarter last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 13.1% in this quarter compared to 12.1% last quarter and 13.4% same quarter last year. Revenue growth has led the margin improvement quarter on quarter, but was impacted year on year due to impact of salary hikes. We continue to witness strong pipeline for technology and digital services and are committed for further improving the yearly EBITDA numbers during second half of 2022. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was Rs. 8.2 crores compared to almost same last quarter and Rs. 6.3 crores in the same quarter last year. Interest expense is Rs. 1 crore in this quarter compared to Rs. 1.1 crore last quarter. Interest expense is primarily due to adoption of Ind AS 116 and we are near debt free. Other income in this quarter was negative Rs. 56 lakhs compared to positive Rs. 5.1 crore last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and net exchange gains or losses. Interest income for the quarter was Rs. 1 crore. The exchange income during the quarter is negative Rs. 3.1 crore, mainly due to mark-to-market on restatement of outstanding forward covers. At the end of the quarter, we had total forward cover of $38.95 million with average date of 78.65 and euro cover of 2.3 million. With average rate of Rs. 88.93. This has already been marked to market as at closing rate of 30th June. Over the last 3 months, the rupee has depreciated sharply due to global environment and we have been taking forward cover as per our hedging policy. Our tax expense was Rs. 7.4 crore in this quarter as against Rs. 7.8 crore last quarter. Our effective tax rate during the quarter is 19%, primarily due to SEZ benefits and lower corporate tax rate in European and Singapore subsidiaries. Net profit after tax was rupees 31.8 crore or $4.1 million compared to rupees 29.7 crore or $4 million last quarter. The resultant EPS for the quarter is rupees 2.69. Getting down to the asset side in the balance sheet, total receivable including unbilled at the quarter were rupees 296.8 crores compared to rupees 230.8 crores at the end of December quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 58 days as at the end of this quarter compared to 52 days at the end of December quarter. This is mainly due to timely reasons and our relation from the customer has been good. Net cash balance were rupees 217.7 crore at the end of the quarter compared to rupees 277.4 crores at the end of December quarter. The reduction is mainly due to interim dividend paid, capex for expansion in SEZ facilities and taxes paid during the first half of 2022. We have been constantly generating cash from the business. Our system shareholder fund were rupees 452.3 crore at the end of the quarter compared to rupees 460.3 crore at the end of December quarter. We have a strong balance sheet to support liquidity and growth. With that, let me hand over to Avirajji for review of operations.
Thank you. Thank you, Nanji. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. We continue to focus on digital technologies and digital transformation projects. The strategy has continued to help us in growth and getting momentum. We'd like to give you brief flavor of our global operations. Digital transformation continued to be the focus for us, and in select key verticals like technology, telecom, banking and finance, healthcare, life science, retail and e-commerce. Our digital transformation offering include cloud analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data, speech analytics, robotics, process automation, IoT, Salesforce. These continued to be our arrowheads for growth. On cloud, we work on all the leading platforms such as Amazon, Microsoft Azure, Google. We are advanced partner with Amazon and gold partner with Salesforce, which is significant traction in cloud space. Most of our existing clients and all new leads that are coming our way are in the cloud space. On analytics side, we see high growth in ML, AI, data and speech analytics. We are currently serving many key clients in this space. Mobility, we work on wide range of technology and devices such as Android, iOS, hybrid, and web app. And we do right from enterprise app development to enterprise level application. We had 10 key wins during this quarter. The brief of few key wins are under product lifecycle management. A US-based leading mortgage insurance company has engaged our system to revamp its legacy platform to deliver operational efficiency and enhanced user experience. Another customer from US is a US-based solution provider for energy industry has chosen our system to provide software development, automation testing, data engineering, and support for its existing product. Another from US is a leading digital experience agency has mandated our system to provide digital transformation solution and cloudification for its legacy application. Another client is leader in electricity production in Eastern Europe. They have engaged our system Europe to digitize their customer onboarding process for the household customers. In this project, our system Europe is integrating the customer's onboarding portal with SAP ISU with Salesforce, along with automating their interaction with their stakeholder in energy sector, so UiPath automation. Under Southeast Asia, one of the largest footwear and leading lifestyle retailer in Southeast Asia has awarded our system to upgrade their current Microsoft Dynamics Nav application to Microsoft Dynamics Business Central and LS Central. In terms of our headcount, technical headcount increased from 3,548 last year to 3,718 in H1 22. We have added 170 technical associates during H1 22 to support strong demand environment. On utilization front, increased from 75.8% in Q1 to 77.8% in Q2. This is mainly due to our disciplined execution. We are working to improve utilization for margin expansion. On quarterly basis, geography-wise, North America contributes 74.2%, Europe 10.8%, Southeast Asia 12.1%, rest of the world is just 2.9% for us. On quarterly basis, client concentration, top 10 client contribute 23.1%, with the largest client about 6.7%. With this brief overview, I will hand over to Dr. Reki for his closing comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhiraj. Our performance in H1 2022 towards revenue growth is encouraging. However, the margins are shy due to increased salary costs and attrition challenges. Our efforts for improving the realization rates, improvement in utilization, coupled with pyramid rationalization, will help us to improve margins in coming quarters. Further, we have taken focused efforts for larger deal sizes to strengthen the margins. Rupee at present level against USD will also support us to improve margins in H2 2022. We continue to invest in sales, pre-sales, digital marketing and newer technology. These are helping us to win large digital transformation projects. The business outlook continues to be positive with strong demand environment as evident from strong sales pipeline. We are confident of continuing this growth momentum and margin expansion in H2 2022. We endeavor to utilize strong balance sheet to support operations and growth. And this brings us to the end of our presentation today. We will hand you back to the organizers for your questions and our answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vishal Khurana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First one is on the demand side. Now, as sir mentioned, that currently demand is strong, but then how are you seeing the demand going forward given the recessionary pressures that we are seeing in Europe and US? So, like, what is your sense on the on a longer term perspective? So that is my first question.
So, Mr. Khurana, on the demand side, we are also hearing that about the US and Europe recession. Frankly, telling you, as of now, we are not seeing the impact. As of now, as you would notice that we have grown 37% quarter on quarter, year on year, and for the first half also more than 35%. So today we have open positions, at least 200 open positions to be filled in, which we are not able to do that because of shortage of talent. So I think probably we are just drop in the ocean, a small company, and our customers are doing well. So, but, I mean, maybe a quarter or so, some dip may happen. But I think, we have grown 30% in last 2 years. We probably may grow 5% less or so. But as of now, I do not see any much impact of the demand on our business.
Okay, one follow-up question on that, sir. So, are you also seeing attrition pressure easing off now? Like we have so many startup companies who are laying off those tech people. So do you see going forward that attrition may come down sooner than we expected and then margins will inch up?
I think so. On the ground as of now, we are not seeing the less impact of attrition. But we have been hearing what is happening in the industry. And we feel that going forward, the attrition impact will kind of reduce and that will help improve our utilization, less pressure on average salaries and all that. To be honest with you, as of now, I am not seeing that. But Avirajji, you may like to add this.
Attrition is definitely, I will, Nanji, just like to add, obviously industry is going through a, you know, attrition period. Every company is faced with that. We are also facing the attrition, but impact on business is not that high. We keep enough cushion with our customer, our people. So we do not see much impact of that, but we are also facing attrition, but not that significant that it impacts our business.
Okay, and Ankur, may I know the attrition rate for this quarter, for quarter one by?
So, attrition rate at a senior level, project manager above, is very low actually, less than 5-6%. But at the below project manager level, it is close to 25% on an overall basis.
Okay, okay. And sir, if I go back the last quarter and the last quarter, you mentioned that we would be able to expand our margins by 100 to 200 bps based on the higher utilization levels and all those things that we are bringing in with price hikes. So are we still sticking with that? Like, hopefully we can do that?
I think so. I think so. You see, the last year we have done 14% EBITDA. The first half we have done close to 12.5%. Historically, if you see, the second half is much better than the first half. So, I think we feel that we should be able to do better than last year. And growth is the one which surely is helping us. When you grow more than 30-35%, it is of help to you. Rupee, fortunately, is depreciating, which is again good for us. I mean, however, the euro depreciation to some extent impacts our 15% European business, which kind of gives us a negative impact. But overall, rupee depreciation helps us. And the billing rate improvement is definitely helping us. But the negative factors are this increase in average salary, utilization being not that high, attrition. I have a feeling we should be improvised compared to last year. I still hold that.
So, the meaning, last year we did 14%, this year, if everything goes as planned, we may go up to 16% also.
I can't give you the exact number. I can't give you the exact number, but I feel that there's a good chance that we will improvise on that.
Okay, okay. And one last question, sir. So if I've been a shareholder in this company for more than a year now. I've been tracking all the calls. So if I go back 3 to 4 quarters back, there was some mentioning about the inorganic opportunity that we were eyeing. And during that time, there were higher valuations on the IT front. But are we still looking into that opportunity now that the valuations are also coming off? So we can leverage on that.
We always are in look for inorganic opportunities. In any inorganic,
the person you are speaking with.
What we look for in any inorganic opportunity is either the good customer base or the good talent base. Whenever we see that, we want to look at that. But off late, our experience in the last 2-3 years, the valuation has become very expensive. And that is the reason probably we are not able to do a meaningful acquisition. We are still in look for that, and anything which fits in our culture and gives us these two critical things of good customer base, good talent addition, we will be open for that.
Okay, okay, sir. And so last year we did give very, very good dividends. So can you expect the same thing happening this year also?
We are a shareholder-friendly company, and if you see our past record, we endeavor to do. I mean, our dividend policy is in the public domain, we endeavor to distribute more than 50% to our shareholders. So we will look at that. But again, board is the final decision maker. But we want to be dividend shareholder friendly. Yes.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Mr. Khurana?
No, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Das, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. First of all, I would like to congratulate the company and the management for the good quarter and continued momentum. As I know that the company is having its operation in Eastern Europe.
Mr. Dutt, your audio is breaking. I would request you to use your handset, please.
Okay, now is it fine?
So still, your audio is not that great.
That's okay. I can hear. Go ahead.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, as the company is having its operation in Eastern Europe, is there any impact of Russian Ukraine war on the company? If you can enlighten that.
So, Mr. Vadav, we have development centers mainly in India, in Noida and Chennai. Also, Eastern Europe, we are in Romania, Poland and Moldova. So, the war and all that, though Romania is on the border and all that. So, to be honest with you, there was a psychological impact towards the start of the war. But as of now, it's business as usual. And moreover, these countries are NATO countries. So, we do not see any impact of war. So, I think we are okay with that. But, I mean, this is not a good thing for the war to happen because the whole world and all these commodity and inflation and all that has happened. But our business is not, is hardly any impact.
Thank you.
Mr. Das, any further questions?
No, I don't have. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants. If you want to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Abhay Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. First of all, congratulations for the great set of numbers and also thanks for rewarding very good shareholders. I just have a small question regarding the current geography. Do you see any challenges pertaining to current geopolitical situation?
Your audio, we cannot hear you properly. Actually, it's too low. Can you please increase your volume a little bit?
Now it's okay?
Yes, yes, much better.
Yeah, just want to know the current geographical areas in which company is working currently.
Okay, so let me explain to you. Our system is on a run rate basis, 190 plus million dollar company on Q2 run rate basis. We have close to 4,200 associates. Out of that, 3,000 associates are based out of Noida, close to 70 in Chennai, so close to 3,070 odd are in India. We have operation in Eastern Europe, in Romania, Poland, Moldova, close to 430 associates are based there. In addition, we are in USA, North America, USA, Canada, Chicago, where we have close to 260 odd associates. We are also in Southeast Asia, Singapore being the headquarters, then Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. Here put together, we will have close to 450 odd resources. So total 4,200 plus resources and 190 plus revenue on run rate basis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Anand. Just a follow-up question. Are we thinking of any expansion plan in other geographies? I think it would do wonder for the company. The company opens up in Latin America, Australia, etc., considering yourself there.
Honestly telling you, we keep on debating that. We keep on debating that for a 200 million odd company, we have close to 18 development centers. Do we need to have more development centers? But I think the nearshore centers like Mexico and, this side, Latin America, we are seriously looking at. In fact, we were looking for a company also, but that deal did not fructify. So we are open to look at Latin America, peaceful kind of decent company we may acquire or we may open it. Australia, as of now, we do not have plan. So Latin America is something which we are quite open to open some center.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jagdishwar Topo from R Systems. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I did not specify my company name. My company name is Apa Investment Advisor. And
okay.
So congratulations to the management team and the staff for the good performance despite their challenges. So my questions are as follows. No, when I see the DSO level, you know, last three quarters sequentially, it has been trending up, you know, 52 days in Q4 21, 55 days in first quarter, and this quarter 58 days. And when I see YOY basis also, it is going up. You know, Q4 21, 52 days versus last year 43 days. Similarly, Q2 last year was 41 days. So my question is it strategic or it is a market factor? You know, we have been very well managed in, as far as DSO level is concerned. So we are letting the DSO level increase to attract more business and better margin, or is it a business pressure? I mean, so can you throw your you know, insight into these you know, key metrics?
Thank you, Mr. Jagdishwar. Honestly telling you, you know, 58, 52 or 45 days. I tell you, the earlier that 42 or 45 days probably was because some unbilled we were not counting. Now, when we do this 58 days, this is like a full point kind of a thing. So I would see in a normal, any business contract, 30 days are the normal payment terms. Less than 30 days, no customer agree to you. In fact, in some of the cases, the payment terms are 45 days. And by the time you follow up and all that, it's 45, 50 days. So personally, I feel that between 50 to 58 days is not a concerning point at all. Moreover, Mr. Jagdishwar, we have grown 30% last year. This year also, we are all set to grow 32-33%. When you kind of grow such fast, small aberration in, you know, this DSO happens. So as of now, we do not see. If you notice, we have made a provision of close to $350,000 in this quarter from, you know, two of the customers where we feel little bit doubt, though probably I feel that that money may come. But as a precautionary measure, we have made a provision. So honestly telling you, it is not alarming and it is not a big concern. In fact, the biggies and all that, they probably have 55 to 60 days at DSO. So I would say don't read too much into this. Going forward, between 50 to 60 days will be like our kind of standard DSOs. And if there is any variation, we will report that.
No, I'm not alarmed. See, given the cash level, you know, I was thinking that whether we can increase business size and margin, you know, sacrificing few, you know, days of DSO. You know, so that was my question. So strategically, we can do more business in terms of top line as well as improvement in margin if we give more extra credit term to the customer. I mean, that was my specific question. And whether we would like to evaluate that option as well.
Normally, you see, we do not want to risk AR for small gain on, you know, some interest or and all that. That is not our policy. But you see, if some good customer is there, he asks for 45 days or 50 days, normally we agree to that. Of course, we do our DNP checks and credit rating checks and all that. But the aim is not to make money out of, you know, extended AR term. But if the business requires that, we are flexible on that. But the last thing we want is the risk on our AR. So I think, so I would say that that is reasonably okay.
Okay. Got it, got it. I mean, you are on right track. That's what I would say. Coming back to your overseas subsidiaries, you know, the overseas subsidiaries has been in general lower margin business historically, and you have made efforts, or we have made efforts to improve the margin of the overseas operations. And also we got impacted because of Euro this time around. Is there a target level of EBITDA margin for the overseas operation, and what are we doing to achieve those target level of EBITDA margin for the overseas operation?
That's a very good question, Mr. Jagdishwar. There's a lot of complementary and global kind of a situation which we have to kind of analyze. Okay, let's take the last completed year. We had 14% EBITDA margin. The EBITDA margin at Noida location is historically has been better because offshoring gross margins are better and all that. So that is there. You always get 2 to 3% better margins in your Noida offshore development center. Eastern Europe is also doing equally well. So our European subsidiaries are doing well, and the EBITDA margins are more or less in line with our overall 14% margin. Only for this last 4-5 months, because of the euro depreciation, there is a slight hit on their EBITDA margins, which I think explained in my in the earlier question. So that to some extent 2-3% impact is happening because of that. Coming on to the USA, you see Noida and USA are very complementary to each other. In USA, for the 220 odd people which are kind of stationed and working from USA, the margins are a bit lower, but they are complementary to Noida. If you live together, then there is no problem. But you are right. The margins at on-site business is comparatively like, I would say, 8-9% in USA. But offshore will be like 16-17%. You are right on that. Coming on to Southeast Asia, you know, that is the reselling of ERP business and consulting business we do. Historically, margins are there less, maybe 6-8%. So you are right in the analysis that the margins at overseas subsidy level are a bit less compared to the holding company in India. But I tell you that this is a kind of, you have to look at in an overall situation. And there are a lot of complementaries in between US, Noida, and Southeast Asia. But we take your point. I think we need to do a little bit better job on those subsidiaries. But we take your feedback.
Thank you, Matt. Last question, if you permit, is there's a term mentioned in your analyst presentation called pyramid rationalization. So can you elaborate on that? What does it mean, and what is the strategy of this term being used in the presentation?
One of the concerns we are facing, our average salaries are increasing, especially in Noida business. You see, our average salaries have increased like 7-8% in last one quarter and 12-13% in last 1 year. What we are trying to do in big projects, we are trying to infuse, less senior resources. So by doing that, we're trying to rationalize the average salary. It can be done if the project size is, let's assume, 20, 30 and all that. Small project, it is not possible because the customer expectation is to get high and good quality. So by pyramid rationalization, literally I mean that we will try to, add few less expensive resources in bigger projects to kind of, reduce the cost. Like in some of the Eastern Europe businesses, we get people from Noida. So Noida is little, cheaper, less expensive resources compared to what you get in Romania. So these kind of things we are doing to kind of maintain our margins.
Okay.
Did that answer?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was quite helpful. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. Sir, we do not have anybody in the queue now.
So you may close, please.
Okay, sir. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Reki Singh for closing comments.
I want to thank everybody for attending this conference and for giving us your questions and your advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of R Systems, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.